Welcome to our worship service today. It is the first Sunday of Lent season 2023. Lent, as I have mentioned in recent past, Lent is a time for us Christians to remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ paid for us. And it is a season right before Easter so that we prepare ourselves to think about what Jesus Christ has gone through before we celebrate the resurrection for Easter. And Lent season begins with Ash Wednesday each year. This year is 22nd of February, this past Wednesday. What's the big deal about Ash? We generally don't like to think about it, but ash or dust reminds us of our mortality. In Genesis 18, verse 27, Abraham compares himself to nothing but dust and ashes as he pleads with the Lord to spare Sodom. And then ash is also associated with mourning in Esther chapter 4, verse 3. Mordecai went into mourning upon hearing the king's order to exterminate the Jews. And they did the mourning sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Ash signifies also coming judgment. In Lamentations 3:16, the exiles expected to be trampled in the dust. And finally, ash symbolizes repentance. In John 3:6, not John, Jonah in Old Testament, in Jonah 3:6, the Ninevites repented after Jonah's preaching, and they sat in the dust. Repentance features heavily during Lent season. Why? Because it's a reminder for Christians to turn away from our sin. Jesus died for our sins to grant us our next life that's free from sin. Now, I don't know if I dare ask, what comes to mind when you hear the title of today's sermon, Turn Right? Very soon, it'll be Formula One in Melbourne, end of March. You know, hours of watching these cars doing one thing. What are they doing? Turn right. They keep making right turns, about 200 turns. If so, if that's all the that comes to mind when you think about turn right, then today's subject, repentance, is very timely for you. Now, as we think about repentance today, turn right isn't about recreation like car races. Rather, it's about recreation. What does repentance have to do with turning? Because the word repent basically means turn. In other words, turn around or turn from. That is, to change your mind. In that sense, today's sermon titled Turn Right, it's about turning to God, turning correctly to God rather than to turn to what you yourself want or desire. Now, of course, this is not implying that we are to be fickle-minded, you know, keep changing our minds. Rather, it's about where to turn from, and more importantly, where to turn to. Psalm 51 has much to teach us about repentance, about making the correct right turns. So please pray with me as we jump into today's word from God. Father God, have mercy on us. Have mercy according to your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out our transgressions. Cleanse us from our sin. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I tend to see myself as being the focus of repentance. Somehow, repentance is thought of as, you know, rallying our will, you know, stealing our resolve to get things right. It's like saying, I'm sorry, I will never do that again. As if our will of steel, our determination, our Asian desire to do good is what makes repentance. Not quite. Because as soon as the next batch of cookies come out, chomp, 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 we're dipping into it again. As soon as the situations are repeated, we find ourselves in the wrong side again. So we punish ourselves as if repentance is for us to pay the price to make everything all right. As if getting down on ourselves and not getting up until we have settled the payment in full, we think that that will fix things. Just let me suffer so that things will be all right. But can we really pay back in full? Psalm 51 reveals to us a different picture of what repentance is. And this picture, instead of us being the focus, like we usually think, the focus is on God. So the first thing we want to look at today, what is repentance? Repentance is turning to God. Repentance is turning to God. Repentance is not about us. It's not about our exasperation. Why can't I try harder to avoid sin? Why am I so useless? Nor is it about our defeat. Oh, I'm just a total failure. Where we keep punishing ourselves for our wrongs. So if you turn to today's scripture, Psalm 51 verse 1, David's repentance, see how it starts. Have mercy on me. Myself? No. Have mercy on me, O God. He turns to God. O God, have mercy, in other words. Repentance is calling to God for help with sin instead of ourselves trying to manage sin. DIY sin doesn't work, if you haven't realized so far. And David's call is done by faith in God, because only God can blot out my transgressions. Our sins cannot be blotted out, no matter how many gallons of this, you know, liquid correction fluid you pour on yourself, or this blanco, sometimes people call that. When David appeals to God's unfailing love and great compassion, it's not like, oh gee, God has forgotten. No, it's not like God has forgotten his own nature and character. When David calls to him, according to your great compassion, please don't forget this. When David says, remember, or according to your great compassion, it's more like David reminding himself that he can call upon God because of God's nature and character. After all, the Christian faith is a faith where God takes the initiative to invite us into relationship with Him. He has done it all for our restoration. Therefore, repentance isn't just regret and remorse. Rather, repentance moves beyond regret and remorse because they find resolution in God. If this is just our self-focus, we can never get out of this. But because remorse and regret find resolution in God, we put the focus of repentance on God. And what a relief this is. What good news. Repentance is not about beating ourselves up and punishing ourselves. Repentance is faith finding assurance in God's loving and compassionate providence. Yes, God has made it possible for us all. So, associations, a working compass, we know, must point to the north, right? Otherwise, it's useless. Only then will you know how you can get to your destination. Likewise, in repentance, God is the point of reference. The focus in and through whom we turn from our sinful way to God's way of life. Turn right is turning to God. Repentance is turning to God, not to ourselves or anybody else or in fact anything else. On the other hand, that may make you think, wow, what a deal. Since repentance begins and ends with God, then I'm off the hook. Well, not quite. Not quite in the sense that there's still accountability. So the second point is, repentance is turning yourself in. Turning yourself in. So when a criminal who is running away from the police turns himself or herself in, that means they are taking responsibility for their action. So repentance is turning yourself in. In other words, you own up to your responsibility. Now let's see, has this thought ever crossed your mind, okay? Okay, God has my back. Bingo! Why don't I just sin and then repent? Just because you have the medicine, do you purposely get sick? You don't, do you? Friends, just because God has covered it all, it doesn't mean that that is our license to sin. Forgiveness from sin is not license to sin. So we have to turn ourselves in to God. Through Jesus Christ's death on the cross, God has taken care of your external debts of sin. But in his divine wisdom and sovereignty, he may still allow consequences here on earth. For example, anyone ever got a speeding ticket? And do you have to pay it? Well, Australia, Victoria is kind. We have one excuse, right? You write a letter, this is my first offense for the year, so you'll be forgiven. And then next year, it starts again. So you can do one speeding ticket. Not that I'm trying to encourage you to do that. Now, depending on how you segment today's Psalm 51, you probably will see that the biggest portion of this psalm has to do with David turning himself in. In other words, David taking responsibility for his transgressions. It stretches all the way from verses 2 to verse 11. So David suffered the consequences of his sin big time. You can read that in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 2. So you've got to give it to David. He took responsibility for his transgression. He made a total confession. No holds barred. No denial, no cover-up, no excuses, and he was even ready to accept the consequences. And sure enough, he did. Just like what he said to Prophet Nathan, whoever does this to his neighbor, taking the poor neighbor's land, he should pay four times back. And for the life he's taken from Uriah, four sons of his would be killed before the time. There's no cover-up, no excuses, no denial. In verse 2, David acknowledges his sinfulness. And verse 3, he clearly says, my sin is always before me. And in fact, this sin goes way back, all the way to conception. Our original sin in verse 5. And the next few verses up to 11 point to the pervasiveness of sin, to the core, the inner parts, the inmost place, which is the heart. In admitting his sinfulness, David accepts a thorough washing from God, straight to the core, the heart, that is, in verses 6 to 7. David knows that the person who's hurt the most by his sin is not himself, but God. So that's the weight of verse 4. Against you, you only, God, have I sinned. Of course, that is not to make light of the terrible problems that David had caused to Bathsheba and also to Uriah, who lost his life because of David's crooked scheme. Yes, David was a murderer. And yet he realizes this. The biggest penalty he should pay is the penalty from God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to wake up to the effect of sin so that we don't take sin lightly. Not just, oh, sin, repent, you know, repeat, sin, repent. But when we sin, people get hurt. We get hurt. And it's not just that people get hurt. You know, like David hurt Bathsheba, Uriah, and many people that he manipulated in his conspiracy. But the most hurt of all is the Lord our Creator. God, who made us all good originally, then we turn around and poke God in the eye. That is what you think about when you sin. We must own up to our sin. We take responsibility for our sinfulness. If we don't, we will take sin too lightly, and we will have, you know, thinking, oh, then sin is okay. Since I'm forgiven, I am beyond sin. No. Now, I've told this story before at BCCS, but it's so relevant to today's subject, it's probably worth retelling. The Eskimos have a peculiar way of killing wolves. You could say it is cruel. What they do is they dip a sharp knife in animal blood and let the blood freeze. Then they repeat the process to get several layers of blood on the knife so that finally, when they stick that knife in the eyes, you don't see the knife. All you see is just blood. So, with the blood exposed out there, wolves, they are drawn to this smell of blood and they start licking the frozen blood. And as the layers of blood melt from the licking, the blade is exposed. But by then, the wolves are already in a frenzy and didn't realize that they are actually satisfying the thirst for blood with their own blood. They didn't realize that it is the blood from their tongue. And then, before long, they bleed to death. Sin is like that. If we don't take responsibility for our sin, yes, we end up hurting others. Yes, we end up hurting ourselves. But most of all, we hurt God. Repentance is turning to God. It's not about just being sorry or trying to repay our debt. Repentance is also turning yourself in. It demands responsibility. We must own up to our sinfulness. From God to us, then the third thing we consider is repentance is turning anew. Start over is refreshing. When we repent, we renew our relationship with God and we feel liberated. It's like walking in the light, enjoying the sunshine, and you are going places. Because in the dark, you are groping around. You may be walking around in circles. You are just not getting anywhere. But when sin is exposed, when you have repented, and maybe you have even suffered for it, then the weight of sin is off your shoulders. But we are prone to wander, to pursue life as we see fit, instead of finding meaning and fulfillment in God. So soon we're down in the dumps, feeling unmotivated about our relationship with God. Yes, that can still happen after your repentance, but that doesn't mean that our repentance has failed. It basically means that repentance is an ongoing process rather than just a once-off event. And that's the sense of this word, turning anew. If it's just new, like turning new, it will get old soon enough, right? So anew points to renewal, the ongoing process until Jesus returns and rules over sin completely, when new remains new forever. And that's what we can take away from verse 12. Let me read it, verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Salvation is granted to us in a flash. But how we live out our identity as saved people takes a lifetime. We need God to renew us each day so that we're willing to admit our sins by turning to God. We turn to God so that He can restore our joy of being God's children. Now, this is not the same thing as, you know, God making entries in our sin ledger, you know, like the bean counter, making sure that every sin is confessed, otherwise no entry. Repentance is not about just asking God to save us over and over and over. Repentance is about asking God to heal our relationship with Him. It's not that when we sin, the relationship is cut off. Then we have to repent and start a new relationship. Rather, we are never cut off. It's just that our sin hurts our relationship. Let me illustrate with this sense of restore or renew, okay? When a man and a woman, they marry, they become husband and wife. Of course, they may hurt each other, and believe me, they will. But that doesn't mean that, you know, the status of being married is stopped, right? When they hurt one another, they are still married. They are still husband and wife. But when they repent, it is to make good again or to renew, to make anew again that relationship so that the hurt will be behind them. Likewise, when we repent, we are not doubting that God's salvation for us has been severed. The relationship we have with God is intact and nothing can change that. Rather, repentance is about healing over the hurt that we've caused to the relationship. And believe you me, whether it is pastor or the holiest of men or any church people, until the day Jesus returns and restores everything back to the original perfection that God created, we are going to be practicing the discipline of repentance. For repentance is an ongoing process, not once off. So in summary, repentance, turn right, is about making the right turns. First, repentance is turning to God, for only in God is there deliverance. And repentance is turning yourself in, owning up to your responsibility so that you don't hurt others and hurt yourselves, and so that you don't take the forgiveness lightly, so that you don't just blanco out the effect of sin. Repentance hasn't failed you if you find yourself continuing to repent, because repentance is turning anew, an ongoing process. Now, as you go through the season of Lent, reflect on the suffering and death that our sin has caused Jesus, the Son of God. This is not so that you'll sin so much that you will be good at repenting, okay? I'm not asking you to be good at repenting. Rather, I challenge you to receive what David says, the joy of salvation, so that you will sin less. We cannot be sinless. We can sin less by the power of Holy Spirit that indwells us. And yet, we are ever ready to repent when we sin. It's a balance, indeed. Nobody can ever say, hey, I've arrived. Repentance is turning to God who has given us salvation. We're turning to a loving and compassionate God who, in His special way, provides us what we need to own up to our responsibility. We can trust this same God who sustains us in the ongoing process of strengthening our relationship with Him. Each day, actually, is a new opportunity. It's starting anew that we can become closer to God again. That whatever we have done that hurt others, hurt God, hurt ourselves, can start over. So as you think about repentance, may I challenge you to think about what areas of life in your life that you may be saying to yourself, oh God, please don't mess with my financials. Let me deal with my budget. Let me deal with the way I spend my money. Is there some areas in your life that you say, God, stay away from it? Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's your hobby of something that you know is not right, but you say, hey, God, let me just have this one vice, okay? Is there an area in your life that you have shut God out, that you have told God to stay out of it? There is an area that you need to repent from. Or is it difficult for you to feel God's presence in your circumstances, whatever circumstances you're in? Most of us, when we are in dire circumstances, we feel that we can get near to God. It is when we are, everything is going roses, that we say, hey God, don't bother me. I'm very busy with all my goodness. You are not really needed now. You are not really relevant now. So is it difficult for you to feel God's presence in any circumstance of your life? If you do, repent. Or is there any area that you say, hey God, let me just run my life? Or any department of your family or the department of your life that you are resisting God's sovereignty? You yourself are still sitting at the throne of your heart and telling God to step aside. If so, that will also be a good area for you to reflect upon your need for repentance. Now, a story is told of a church that was holding a series of revival meetings. On the first night, a man came forward to repent. Fill me, Lord, fill me. On the second night, again, he came forward and uttered, fill me, Lord, fill me. So sincere. And on the third night, he repented again. Fill me, Lord, fill me. At that, someone in the congregation shouted, don't do it, Lord. He is leaking. He leaks. No matter how much you fill him, he still leaks. Is that the reality of our lives here today on earth? And if your answer is no, well, think about it. We all leak from time to time. There's no shame in admitting that we leak. Conviction of sin is a difficult pill to swallow, but it is good medicine for the soul. The shame is in suffering and dying with the medicine placed in our grasp, isn't it? So Christians, we repent and be filled again and again and again. During Holy Communion, we say a prayer of confession. Today is not Holy Communion, and next Sunday is. But perhaps with today's sermon about turn right, let me invite you to stand. And let us say this prayer of confession together. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not heard the cry of the needy. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, forgive us, we pray. Forgive our past, strengthen our present, guide our future to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Please be seated.